Praise the Lord. Thank you, Joanne. And be in prayer for her. She just had carpal tunnel surgery the other day and has some other surgeries coming up, some cataract issues and that. So remember Joanne in prayer. I know she'll appreciate that. Our passage, of course, is a passage about the last days. And we, of course, are in the book of Revelation and getting into especially about the midpoint of the tribulation, talking about that. And I believe Matthew 24 here is a very good description of those days and that time. But, you know, we don't know if we're in the last days. We do a lot of speculating in the book of Revelation where we think that this is what's going to happen, or we think that. And certainly most people, most Christians and theologians and that believe that we are probably in the last days, and it's an exciting day that we do live in. But this is not an exciting time here in the Scripture. It's you'll notice in verse 8 it says, these are the beginning of sorrows. Tribulation will be a time of sorrow, and I believe leading up to that, leading up to the rapture, leading up and certainly to the last days, there will be many sorrows. There will be affliction. According to verse 9, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted. I do want to remind you, as I do in our class every Sunday, that there are Christians suffering across our world. We don't see it. We think that our roof leaking is suffering. That's nothing. Really, it's nothing compared to what Christians go through in other countries. They are persecuted. They are persecuted unto death in many countries during the tribulation. That will be the theme, really. Killing Christians, it will be taking place in the tribulation time. And then the Bible goes on and talks about verse 10, there shall many be offended, betraying one another, hating one another. That is a sign of the end times. Verse 11, there will be false prophets. Many false prophets shall rise. There will be deceit and deceiving many. There are so many religions out there today, so many beliefs, so many cults, isms, schisms, everything else, and that is certainly going to be prevalent during the tribulation, of course, all combining into one world religion during that time, and it will be just a total mess. The thing I want to talk about, though, is found in verse 12, and it says this, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, I think that's true anywhere. I think that's true in the tribulation, certainly, but I believe that's true today. I believe that's true in a person's life. I believe it's true in a Christian's life, that when iniquity abounds, when iniquity is prevalent in our lives, when sin is prevalent in our lives, the love shall wax cold. We just get cold. I mean, when sin is abounding in our lives, we cool off. You can always tell that something is going on in a person's life as a Christian when they start to cool off. You know, well, I'm just taking a break. Well, I'm just slowing down a little bit. Yeah, but what's really going on? Well, God, I think, describes what's really going on. It's because iniquity shall abound. Iniquity, sin, as it robs us from so many things, it takes away our fire. It takes away the heat. It takes away our zeal. There are so many things, and I want to talk to you about that today. I want to preach a message I've entitled, The Chosen Frozen. And to be honest with you, that's exactly what happens to a lot of Christians when iniquity abounds. Look at your life. I know I used to do this. I used to do that. I used to be excited about what I used to be. And you know, there's so many used to be's in the world. God is looking for some folks to say, I am, I am, I am. And we got to get hot for God. We're going to have to get hot. And you know, the truth of the matter is, this is a tribulation prophecy here, but I think we're seeing it in our day. We are watching people who think, you know, I can do this, I can do this, and you name the sin, whatever it may be in our lives, whatever your little pet thing is or whatever mine might be. But when that is abounding in my life, I cool off. You cool off. And all of a sudden, you're not what you used to be for God. And let's pray. Father, bless now the preaching this morning, and I pray that you will help us not to be the chosen frozen. Help us, Lord, to be on fire for you. I pray for revival fire to break out in our ministry, in our lives, in our city, in our county, in our country. Father, I pray that we would see that, that we'd not be resigned to the end being here, but God, that we would see the flames of the Holy Spirit of God moving across people's lives, where the drunks get saved and become clean, and drug addicts and the pornographers and people, their lives are changed because of the fire of God, the fire from heaven. And Lord, that we would not become so cold in our own iniquity that our love is cold as well, and that we stop doing what we used to do. Please speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Because iniquity shall abound. Why does iniquity? Well, you know, it abounds because we don't stop it. It abounds because we don't get right with God. Why does iniquity abound in our lives? Well, it's because we don't go to the altar and get it right with God. It's because we don't recognize. It's because we don't read our Bibles and say, oh God, speak to my heart. It's because we don't get on our knees and say, oh God, deal with me and search me, oh God, and try my heart. It's because we just don't stop it. It's because it's not preached against. Iniquity, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. We would never want to make somebody mad. We need all that we can get, and so we don't preach again. It's because we don't deal with it ourselves. We don't want to call it iniquity. We don't want to call it sin. Well, it's just an alternate idea, an alternate lifestyle, whatever it may be. And the truth of the matter is, it's causes coldness in our lives. Truth is, you know, most of us don't really like the cold. Most of us, some do. Our son likes cold, and I know there are some folks that just like cold, but we do all we can to kind of avoid it. We spend a lot of money. We heat our buildings. We heat our homes, and we have blankets and electric blankets and all these things, trying to avoid the cold. We're doing everything we can, and we have our little gloves and our scarves, and we have our hats. And I've seen some unique looking hats, to be honest with you. And Phyllis has an interesting hat, but it keeps her warm. Amen. And we just can't wait for spring. And the truth of the matter is, many of us, you know, the colder it gets, the more we ache. Oh, and the pain and everything else. And so cold. My wife and I, we always remark, we love the fall and love the changing of the trees and all that and how pretty it is, but we know what it means. It means the trees are going to be barren and brown and nasty. And that just kind of sets over us because it's cold. And yet so many Christians get cold like that. And it's the same thing. And you watch people grow cold, and they used to be on fire for God, and they used to pray, and they used to read their Bible, and they used to be excited about the things of God. And they talked about the things of God, and then it's kind of like as the leaves fall, you know, it's kind of like as those first flurries start to fall down, it's kind of like, boy, winter's setting in a person's life, and they grow cold. And God tells us why. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Our love for God, our love for the Bible, our love for church, our love for souls, our love for children, it waxes cold because iniquity abounds in our lives. How sad when the fire goes out. It is sad. It's sad. And in the Bible, we have illustrations of the fire going out. And of course, Elijah, you know, his people, he was outnumbered, and he felt outnumbered. And yet God sent him to Mount Carmel to go up against the religions of that day. And they were cold religions. They were liberal religions. They didn't believe the Bible. They didn't believe the Word of God. But Elijah said, hey, let's see whose God is God. How did God prove who he was? He sent fire from heaven. Amen. When in 2 Kings chapter 1, when King Ahaziah, when he disrespected the man of God, what did God do? As the king said, hey, told his captain of and 50 soldiers, they went to the man of God, and they said, the king wants to see you. Get out here right now. And God said, you're not going to talk to my man like that. And poof, fire from heaven. Second time, another man, the captain of 50 with his 50, same thing, and poof, fire from heaven. You know, we need fire from heaven in our lives. We need fire from heaven in our county. We need fire because we get cold. You need fire today. You say, yeah, you know, I'm really not interested in this, but you used to be. You used to be. But because iniquity shall abound. What have we let into our lives? What have we let into our home? What have we let into our church? What have we let into to this thing that we call what we believe? What have we allowed to happen that has caused iniquity to just kind of run rampant with us so that our love has gone cold? It's gone cold, the very thing we really try to get away from. But you see, God has fire from heaven. He'd like to light things up. God has fire. He'd like to warm things up. That's what we're asking. God, warm up the outside. Amen. Warm it up quick and get all this snow out of here. God, warm it up fast. And yet, as a pastor, I'm saying, oh, God, warm us up. Warm it up, God. But I'm afraid until we'll deal with sin in our hearts, that love is going to continue to wax cold. We need fire today. We need the fire of revival today. And it all starts with getting rid of iniquity. It all starts with getting rid of sin in our lives. It all starts with what we call our heart and our life and our thoughts and the things nobody knows about. It's all about if I'm going to fight coldness today, if I'm going to deal with the coldness today, I'm going to have to deal with, God, we need your fire to work in our hearts and our lives. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And so, what happens? What happens to the chosen frozen? Well, I'm going to tell you this. Sin affects a lot of things. It affects a lot of things. But I'm going to just give you three things that when we get cold, here's what happens. Number one, it affects our attitude. When we get cold, it affects our attitude. You know, every one of us has tried to be very, very careful to just praise the Lord. Oh, look, it's snowing. Praise the Lord. You know, oh, below zero again. Hallelujah. And we go out and we start our case. You've heard that, haven't you? You know, well, praise God. Hallelujah. But it affects our attitude. And we find ourselves all of a sudden griping. We find ourselves complaining. We find ourselves doing things we wouldn't normally do. But it's because it's so cold. And we have to be careful. I mean, God controls all this, right? I mean, God controls the temperature. God controls the precipitation. God knows it's snowed every Sunday now for the last, I don't know how long. He knows that. He's in control of all that. But boy, you know, it affects our attitude, that cold weather. It does, doesn't it? And you know, spiritually, it affects our attitude too. When we get cold, our attitude changes real fast. It changes real fast. We a couple things that happen to us. We become miserable. When again, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. When your love starts to wax cold, you just become miserable. I mean, you are miserable. I think about cold weather and how you know, you're just trying to find warmth. My wife, you know, she likes to when we go to bed. I mean, she is looking for warmth. Fortunately, we have a heated mattress thing and blankets and everything else. But I mean, late at night, I mean, she'll snuggle right in there close, trying to get warm. She'll be cold, you know, and she's kind of like a leech. And that might be a little harsh, but I mean, she's right in there getting as close as she possibly can. I mean, her hands will be cold, and she'll try to, you know, she'll try to get them real close. And I mean, there's sometimes, you know, I'm thinking, oh, but I, you know, but because it's just so cold. But you know, I think about that, and as she'll snuggle in real close, I think about, you know, when I start to feel like I'm getting cold, shouldn't I draw nigh to Jesus? I mean, that's what, really, honestly, come on, when you recognize, hey, I got an attitude problem. I got a problem. I'm a grump. I'm a grouch, and I'm supposed to be praising the Lord. And you look at your life and you say, I got to get somewhere where it's warm because I've been pretty nasty. Look at James 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's where it all starts, folks. You want to stop iniquity in your life that's cooling you off? You want to stop iniquity in your life that's making your attitude like an ice cube? I'm going to tell you, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, and draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to warmth. Amen. And draw nigh to the fire. And he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And that misery, it'll fade as your heart warms up. But as long as iniquity shall abound, your love is going to wax cold. And you're going to be miserable. It affects our attitude. It affects our attitude because we're miserable. But we also become impatient. Oh, in the cold, are we ever impatient? You know, I'm not going to ask you to show your hands, but I try to be a gentleman for my wife, you know, and hold the door. I try to hold the door for ladies. And I know nowadays, well, you're not supposed to do that. They're supposed to do it for you, and they're supposed to throw their coat down. You walk on it and all that, but that didn't work for me, you know. So I want to open her door, but come on. I mean, it's a blizzard, and snow is blowing, and you know, it's getting in my hair. And I mean, it's cold out, and so here you are, and you're holding the door for your wife, and there you stand, you know, you're turning into the abominable, right? And you just get, and sometimes I got to be honest, sometimes she's not real quick getting in and out of the car because of her back and her pain and everything, and I want to go, would you hurry up, woman? Now I would not say that, but that's sometimes I'm thinking that because I'm freezing. All the guys, you know, they're all thinking, yeah, that's me too. Yeah, I'm glad you're saying it, not me. But anyway, but why would we be like that? Or you stand outside and here comes, you know, here comes five ladies and you're holding the door for them and it's okay at first until they're standing there talking. You know, and you're kind of, and they're walking real slow and then they stop and you're freezing, you know. And you just, you want to say, woman, move. But you don't because but you get impatient. I'm going to tell you something. You could when a Christian starts being impatient with people, you can understand they're probably getting cold. There's probably there, you know, God tells us to be long suffering. Amen. That means put up with each other, forbearing one another. Because there's not one of us that's perfect. But isn't it amazing when iniquity abounds in our life, how all of a sudden the little quirks of other people, it starts to really, really, you get impatient with it. You just get so impatient. Only because it's cold. Hey, you know what? When it's warm outside, standing and holding the door for my wife, it's no big deal. Honey, take your time. I know the other day, she was trying to get in, her coat was hanging out. And I'm thinking, brother, get the coat out of the way. But when it's hot, honey, it's okay. Tuck your little self in. Put your little seatbelt on. Everything's great. Oh, I'm enjoying the sun. But there's something about when it's cold and we just are so impatient with other people. We believe everything we hear about other people because we're just cold. We need fire. We need fire. We need to love each other. And we need to understand there's not a perfect person in the room, on the campus, in the city, in the county, in the state, in the nation, in the world. Not one. And you know, but the people, we get cold-hearted. And why are we cold-hearted, preacher? Well, because iniquity shall abound. There's something. Have you found yourself being impatient with people? Have you found yourself being impatient with your spouse? Have you found yourself being impatient with people that you just never had any problem with before? And you know what? It's probably because your heart's cold. And it's probably because iniquity is there somewhere. Come on, you know your life. You think about it. But it is so true. It affects our attitude. We become miserable, impatient. How about grouchy? Nicest people in all the world. When it's cold out, they can be really nasty. Right? When it's cold out. You know, they'll snap at people and just, you know, they slipped and slid trying to drive in and then they got out on the sidewalk and slipped and about fell and they come in, how you doing? And they say, I'm just terrible. That's what I do. You know? And you know, it's so true though, with spiritually when we get cold. You can almost tell, hey, what is your problem, you know? And I'm just having a bad day. Well, and sometimes we do have bad days, but I've known people to have bad days, and praise the Lord. Amen. But you know, when your heart waxes cold, when your love waxes cold, all of a sudden everything is bad. You need the fire of God to fall on your life. You need the fire of revival to take charge of your life and warm up. Warm up. Get rid of that iniquity. Because in the end times, the love of many shall wax cold. And it's because of sin in our lives. I mean, most Christians, we feel real good being the thermometer. You know, we can tell the temperature of everybody. Oh, yeah. But here's what we need to decide to be. We need to be a thermostat. And we need to turn up the heat and control the heat. And the only way we can be a thermostat is to get our own life right with God. And to have our own iniquity purged and right and to dealt with so that we can try to help others and heat up their lives as well by being what God wants us to be. It affects our attitude. When it gets cold, it affects our attitude. Number two, it affects our ambition. It affects our ambition. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It affects our ambition. I was... the other day, I was thinking about vacation Bible school, thinking about, okay, got to plan vacation Bible school. Are you excited about that? Yes. And I thought, all right, boy, vacation Bible school. This is going to be exciting. And I looked out the window and I said, who wants to even talk about vacation Bible school? You know, I mean, it's white out there. Totally white. Another day, I was thinking about vacation Bible school. And I went outside and it was below zero. You know, who cares? Forget vacation Bible school. See, it cold weather, it affects my ambition. I don't care about vacation Bible school. The fair ministry, it's hard to even imagine dust. Right? Yeah, it's hard to even imagine. What's dust? You know, it's hard to imagine sweating. It's hard to imagine Kool-Aid. No, we're going to give out hot chocolate at the fair this year. Amen. Hot chocolate and coffee. But no. It's hard to imagine. Kool-Aid. Why would anybody want Kool-Aid? We want hot aid. Amen. It's hard to even envision that. So who cares? I was talking to Brother Korea the other day about the fair, and I thought, we're gonna build it up and make an igloo out of our tent. You know, that'll be nice. We'll win. But see, we're just not ambitious when it's cold. We don't think about stuff. It affects our ambition, thinking about, going soul winning. And you know, seriously, soul winning. When people don't let you in, it's below zero, it's just not fun. I remember leading a guy to the Lord one time, and I had to take my gloves off to turn the pages of the Bible. Wind was howling. We're standing outside, and snow was blowing. And I took literally about had frostbite from my fingers. It's not exciting. It affects our ambition. Well, when you spiritually become cold, you become numb. You just become numb. I remember my wife, our one time we went on a skiing trip. Remember this? We were very, very young. And we went on a skiing trip. And honestly, you say, was it fun? You know, the one time I went down. I went down a lot of times. But the one time I actually went down a hill. I mean, I was a guy that tried to hold the rope. And, you hold onto a rope and it pulls you up the hill. I was going to go up the hill, and when I grabbed the rope, my skis were pointed the wrong way. And I went straight on my face. It just wasn't that fun. But the thing I remember the most about it was literally being numb. You know? It was so cold. It's sad when people spiritually become numb. They become numb. It breaks my heart to watch people become numb. I'm thinking of folks, again, not because physically they can't handle it, but they sleep in church. I think of folks who I've watched them put on their makeup during the service. You know, I've seen people file their nails during. You know, it's like, hey, are you really paying attention? No, reading the songbook, reading the bulletin, reading another kind of book. You know, checking texts. And those, it's almost like you become numb. Now, again, why would people be like, why would that happen? Well, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, and you just become numb. Many churches are full of paralyzed members. They just become numb. Numbness because of what? Well, remember when you used to hold your wrist as a kid and you'd hold your wrist and cut off the blood supply so that you'd feel that little tingle? How many ever did that? Nobody? A couple people did? Or you just aren't going to raise your hand today? I know how it is. You're cold! No, you're not. But you hold on to that, and you cut off the blood supply, and then it's so neat when the blood rushes in there and it gets all tingly and everything. But your hand becomes numb. Why? Because of the lack of blood. The lack of blood. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You're going to get numb as a Christian when you don't think about the blood. The lack of blood, not talking about, not thinking about the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Lord's Supper doesn't bring a tear to your eye. And Lord's Supper is just a ritual that we do instead of, hey, this do in remembrance of me who died on the cross to pay for your sin. This do to remember me, to remember the cat of nine tails ripping my flesh, to remember the blood that poured from the crown of thorns being pressed into my head, to remember the blood that poured from the veins and from my hands that were pierced with a nail, nailed to a cross, to remember that I died for you. And we forget the blood. Why? Because iniquity shall abound. What sin is robbing you from the blessing of the blood of Jesus Christ? What sin is numbing you from the blood? Songs that we sing about the blood, and we kind of yawn through them. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we say, you know, I don't need to hear a gospel message. I've been saved for years. You need to hear the gospel message every time it's preached. You need to listen to it over and over and over and over and over again. And the grace of God and the goodness of God. And we become numb. Why? Well, because iniquity shall abound. There's nothing else that would steal that from us. There's nothing else that would take away the joy of the... Do you understand? When we get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus. And we're going to see his nail-pierced hands. And we're going to know how he shed his blood. And we're going to rejoice and rejoice. Why wouldn't we do that now? Because we can read about it. We can know about it. Why wouldn't we? Well, because iniquity shall abound. And it's just like holding my wrist and cutting off the blood supply to my hand. Pretty soon I can't feel anything. And I'm numb. And preaching doesn't affect me. Bible doesn't affect me. Christians don't affect me. It's just numb. We become numb because our blood gets cold. When we're outside, as I mentioned, the ski trip, and the blood gets cold, and literally it gets numb. And that happens to the Christian who doesn't read their Bible, who doesn't pray, who's not faithful to church, who's drawn away, the Bible says, of their own lust and enticed away from the things of God. And again, why? Because iniquity shall abound. And we become numb. We become numb. We need the fire of God. We become indifferent. We don't care about lost people. It doesn't matter. I said, a while ago, I said the fair ministry, and some little bristles started on the back. Yeah, I suppose he'll want us to go to the fair again, win people to Jesus. You know, it's you used to care. But it's not your, I understand. I started to say it's not your fault. It is your fault because iniquity shall abound. Folks, here's what you got to do, okay? Deal with the iniquity. Whatever the sin, whatever it is, deal with it. God, I want to be clean. God, I want to be right. God, I want to be right with you. Show me, God. Search me, God. And let me get it right. I want to get it right because I don't want to be cold. And yet we shiver our way through church. We shiver our way through Christianity. We shiver our way through life. It should bother us. And there are those, I promise you, there are those that would say, I didn't need that. It didn't help me today. Oh, listen to me. All the earmuffs and hats and leg warmers and everything else, it isn't going to help you till this right here. You get right with God and get rid of the iniquity. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Shall wax cold. Number one, I said the cold, it affects our attitude. Number two, it affects our ambition. We just don't want to do. We don't care. And then number three, the last thing, it affects our activity. It affects our activity. They say before a man freezes to death, he becomes sleepy, stops doing anything. He just stops, becomes sleepy, falls asleep, and dies. And by the way, when he gets to that point, he's no help to anyone. Can't help anyone else. Cold. Can't help family, can't help friends. Spiritually, it's the same thing, you know? It really is. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 4. Proverbs 20, verse 4. Bible says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. What kept him out? It's just cold. Honey, time to plow. Well, you know, it's awful cold out. Well, yeah, but the harvest. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of Christians today that, you know, they're not plowing because it's cold. It's cold. But the only reason it's cold is because iniquity abounds. That's the only reason. Used to be. Yeah, some of the greatest servants of God used to be so busy for God, used to be doing so many things for God. Don't you ever wonder, what is it? Now, I'm not talking about folks that are elderly and just can't do everything they used to do. I'm talking about somebody that just all of a sudden, you know, they just start slowing down and finally they're doing nothing. Iniquity. Sin. Sin. That's where you need to look. Sin. You know? I'm just not interested in... Okay, that's sin. That's something in your life that is robbing you of the heat and the fire of God that God wants you to have, and the Holy Spirit of God is sending the fire to your life, but you just, I don't want any part of it. And you're so close to freezing to death. And you can't help anyone else. God wants to use you. God wants to use you, but you're just cold. Cain said this. He said, am I my brother's keeper? Yeah. Yes. Yes, you are. The Good Samaritan, you know the story. The priest, the Levite, they left him to die because they were cold. I wonder how many we're leaving. We're going to leave behind because our hearts are cold. Because it affects our activity. I'll be honest with you, when it's cold out, I don't care to be out. My wife and I, you know, in the summer we walk, and once it turns about 60, we'll start walking. And we'll walk all around the neighborhood, walk to the duck pond, walk all over our area, Trestle Park and all that. And we like to walk. The other day, I think it was like 15 below zero or something. I said, hey, babe, you want to walk? I wanted to look kind of like the hero, you know. Hey, you know, I'm ready to go. I wasn't. And I wouldn't have, but she said, oh, no, it's too cold. And I said, yeah, I wouldn't want you to freeze. So I'll sacrifice for you and stay home. And, you know how it is. But the thing, you know, the Good Samaritan, he was warm and he was able to help. As iniquity abounds in our life, do you ever wonder how many folks are going to go to hell because of whatever little thing we're holding on to? You ever wonder who in your family is going to go to hell? You ever wonder if your neighbor, your coworker, people you're around? You know, churches, the more worldly and carnal they become, no bus, no soul winning, no plan of salvation, no altar call, none of those things. What is that? That's cold. Amen. That's cold. It's cold. No opportunity. Hey, we don't. People aren't going to come to the altar. Well, yes, people will come to the altar. If you preach the truth, they will. And you give them a chance. Man, I'm thinking of church after church after church. It's just not even expected that people would get right with God. But it's because iniquity abounds. And when iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. Cold. Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal and said, let's prove whose God is God. And the fire fell. Praise God. We have got to understand. The problem is not the fire, folks. The problem is never the fire. The fire is always available. Elijah proved that. The fire is always available. The problem is our own hearts, and where iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. And fire that will purge out sin. Look at Revelation 2, verse 4. Just about done. Revelation 2, verse 4. Fire that will purge out sin. Revelation 2 and verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent, and repent, and repent, and do the first works. But the repent has to come first. The God, I was wrong, has to come first. God, forgive me, that has to come first. God, I want to be right with you, that has to come first. And then I can do those first works, because it'll warm up my heart, and the fire of God will purge that sin out of my life. Fire to stop the cold of griping and impatience and grouchiness and grumpiness and whatever else goes with that. Fire to stop the cold of not caring about people around us, and not caring that people are going to hell, and not caring that children are not hearing the gospel, not caring that our country is going to hell, not caring that our world is going to hell. Fire that'll change that to get back the way we used to think. Fire that'll get us busy again. Amen. Ask yourself why. Ask yourself why it doesn't matter anymore. Ask yourself why you don't care anymore. Ask yourself why the Bible's not exciting anymore. Ask yourself why the blood of Jesus doesn't fire you up anymore. Ask yourself why. Because I guarantee you, come back to verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. 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 Truth is, everybody wants to see a big fire. People like a big fire. Remember last year, they were shooting the movie out on 52. What was that movie? I knew somebody'd know. Oh, no. But anyway, Transformers, I guess. Some kind of movie about a big truck turning into a human or something. Anyway... I don't know how trucks turn into people, but so they're shooting this movie, and everybody, they're talking about blowing this thing up, and I heard all the, yeah, we want to go see that, but we can't get close enough, and we're trying to watch it, we want to watch this thing blow, just to watch the thing blow up. I mean, things blow up all the time. Fires burn all the time. Everybody wanted to see that thing. But just south of Jasper, they put a bomb and it blew up this truck or something. I don't know what it was, but everybody wanted to see that fire. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. We have a lot of ideas on what builds a crowd and what. There are people out there that want to see a fire burn. And there are people out there that want to see a fire burn in church. There are people out there that want to say, hey, is God really God? They don't want to be entertained. They don't want to have their... They can get entertainment all out in the world all they want. They want to hear the Word of God preached, and they want to see the fire of God fall. That's what people are really wanting. I promise you. That's what the drunk... I know he wouldn't tell you, oh yeah, I'm looking for... No, but that's what he needs. That's what the drug addict needs. That's what the folks that have marriage problems need. They need fire. And, if iniquity abounds, then all they get is cold. Just cold, cold, cold. Cold shoulder. Just a cold atmosphere and nothing happens. We need the fire to fall. Those little bus kids, why would we spend $20,000 to $30,000 every year to bring children to an ice box? Amen? Doesn't make sense, does it? Let's bring children where it's hot. Let's bring children where they hear the gospel. Let's bring children where there's an atmosphere of them getting saved, where it's obvious that people get saved and they're fired up about being saved. I'll be honest, a lot of teenagers, they see a lot of Christians and they think, if this is what it's all about, why would I want it? Because they hear griping, complaining, everything's bad, nothing's good. And you know what? That's because iniquity abounds in your heart. I'm telling you, the fire of God. We used to be excited about the things of God. It's time to get excited again. But it all starts with verse 12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Do you find yourself with your attitude different? maybe because it's cold. You find yourself with your ambition, you're just not excited about things of God anymore. You find yourself just not doing anything for God, your activity. It's time to get warm, the fire from God. It's time to go to Him and say, God, I want to burn for you. Let me burn out for thee, dear Lord. Burn out with the fire of God. Let's all bow our heads, please. Close our eyes. No one talking, no one looking around.